Dear friends, we've all seen the many clever internet memes bringing a helpful measure of perspective and levity to this most unusual Passover. The meme adding a fifth question, why is this Passover different from all other Passovers? The meme labeling coronavirus the 11th plague, and my favorite, the special COVID-19 Seder plate with new symbols, including a face mask, a bottle of Purell, a canister of Lysol wipes, a latex glove, a Wi-Fi router, and a roll of Charmin. Sometimes a little gallows humor does come in handy. But beneath it, of course, is our very serious concern for the state of our world, and for some of us, the health and well-being of our loved ones. These are deeply unsettling days. All of us, whether alone or with family, are feeling confined. How ironic that Mitzrayim, the biblical name for Egypt, also means confining places. And so this Pesach, we rediscover what we already knew. The Torah, the story of our people's birth and journey out of slavery to freedom, resonates in every age. Indeed, the Exodus narrative has lifted up for every generation of Jews a mirror on their own times and a beacon of hope for better days. The Jews of the Roman destruction and the Nazi concentration camps and the Soviet Gulag all found in the Passover tale a ray of light in their darkness. And so every year at this season, we retell the story of our deliverance, that dramatic moment at the Red Sea, with Pharaoh's army drawing ever closer behind them. The Israelites faced the waves crashing before them. There was no way forward and no way back. In desperation, Moses began to pray, but God rebuked him. Why do you cry out to me? Lift up your staff to split the sea that the Israelites might cross. Moses heeded God's command. Then, Rabbi Meir taught, the leaders of the 12 tribes all wanted to display their bravery. Each wanted to be first into the waters. I'll go first, declared one. No, I'll go first, declared another. But Rabbi Judah offered a different version of the story. When Moses raised his staff, the sea did not split. And the tribal heads were terrified. No one wanted to go first. Not me, cried one. Not me, wailed another. And this next part of the Midrash you may know. In that moment of terror, when no one else had the courage to enter the waters, Nachshon ben Aminadav of the tribe of Judah bravely marched into the sea. He walked in up to his knees, and still the waters did not relent. And then up to his waist, and still the waves crashed against him. And then to his neck, the currents pulling harder than ever. And then he took one more step. And finally, when the water entered his mouth and he began to choke, the sea parted. Had it not been for the courage of this one man, our ancestors might never have escaped Egypt. Now I often ask myself, if I had been in Nachshon's place, would I have displayed such courage? No way, not me. Fortunately, though, there is another version of the tale I can relate to. According to this telling, with all the tribes jostling about in fear on the banks of the sea, trapped between the crashing waves and Pharaoh's soldiers, in that instant of utter chaos and panic, Nachshon fell into the sea. Now that I could have done. And then something extraordinary happened to Nachshon. When he had no choice but to be brave, he was brave, and he marched forward, and the sea split. In this frightening moment, we too have no choice but to be brave, to persevere, to have faith that this day will pass, which it will, thanks to the courage of so many true heroes, As we gather in safety around our Seder tables, we acknowledge the doctors and nurses and others in the medical profession putting themselves in harm's way to protect us, and the first responders, and those performing the essential civic duties that keep our cities and states and country functioning, also often at great personal risk, and the researchers working day and night for the cure. These are our Nachshons, and we honor them. And tragically, we also know there are many in our community who have already suffered greatly, who are sick themselves, or who have lost loved ones. May God bring them healing and comfort. And there are all those others, already vulnerable, who need our support in the best of times, the hungry and the homeless, the sick and the lonely, the refugee and the unprotected immigrant, the minority groups disproportionately affected by this pandemic. Even as we tend to our own needs, we mustn't forget theirs. Under normal circumstances, Temple Emmanuel would be hosting its annual second Seder for some of these individuals at which so many of you volunteer. Sadly, we cannot. But recently, our philanthropic fund invited our members to donate the cost of the Seders they had planned to hold to support these populations. And I'm proud to announce that to this date, that effort has raised more than $30,000. If you wish to contribute, please go to our website, emmanuelnyc.org, and know that we will put your gift to use, fulfilling the commandment of this night, that all who are hungry come and eat, that all who are in need share the hope of Passover. To return to that fifth question, why is this Passover different from all other Passovers? My colleague, Rabbi Noam Marins, offered this answer. On this Passover, when a pandemic threatens our collective health on an unimaginable scale, we are called to respond with the power of our humanity, with the divine spirit implanted within us, with our legacy of hope and determination to prevail. And so we shall.